you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
And those efforts undertaken to inform the community come courtesy of the tremendous producers here at KPCC and our wonderful news apprentices, including James Chow, who celebrates his birthday today. James, a very happy birthday to you. Hope you, after you get off work, have some fun times planned. It's wonderful to get to work with people who are in generations younger than me because they school me regularly. It's great to be able to get their experiences right out of college. If news apprentices is just wonderful energy and intelligence they bring to KPCC. We continue by focusing on our State of the Arts segment today, as we did yesterday on theater, today with the reopening of museums and what all goes into that. Tremendous economic challenges, museums large and small, and of course trying to make sure that the galleries, the spaces of those museums are safe for people to visit at reduced capacity. Let me begin with the CEO of La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, located in downtown Los Angeles. It's dedicated to exhibitions on Latino arts, history, and culture, John Echeveste. John, it's good to have you back with us. What's your timeline for reopening the museum downtown?
Well, we're very excited to open to the public. We're targeting the date of Thursday, April 15th. We're also planning a week for member previews beginning on April 8th. And the timing is really good for us because it's also our 10-year anniversary in April. So the timing actually worked out pretty well. We'll also be reducing our hours, though, our days of operation from Thursdays through Sundays. So those are the days that we'll be open.
All right. Well, that's terrific to hear about that. Financially, how are you doing and what will this mean for, I know you don't have a huge staff, but what will it mean for the people you employ?
Well, it'll be great. I think they're all anxious to get back to work. We've been able to keep everybody on staff. We are an admission-free museum, so we weren't really dependent on membership entrance fees, which was good. Where we did see a lot of revenue loss, of course, is on events that we do. We have a very large outdoor event space, and we do more than 100 events there, festivals, film screenings, concerts, meetings, conferences, you know, just about everything from April through November. So we lost all that revenue last year, but we were fortunate to qualify for two PPP loans, which has been very, very helpful. And we've also made use of other emergency relief grants that have been available by public and private sources.
Sounds good. John, I'm going to come back to you to ask about what exhibitions you have scheduled for the middle of next month as you reopen at the plaza downtown right across from Olvera Street. Also with us from the Peterson Automotive Museum on Museum Row in the Miracle Mile, Executive Director Terry Cargas. Terry, so good to have you with us. What have you got going at the Peterson?
Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it. The reopening of the museum is actually taking place as I speak. We had friends and family in yesterday. We've invited members in today for open kind of casual days, and then we open to the public tomorrow. And we've had a tremendous pre-sale. All of our tickets are available online only, and so that we're spacing folks out for every, being able to have access every 2 hours. And then, of course, we've got, programmed channeling folks in one direction through the museum so that we don't have any congestion, sanitary or hand cleansing stations everywhere, that all the glass. But very excited to be open. There's a real buzz in the building and everyone is glad to be operating again.
I'll bet. I hear the enthusiasm in your voice, too. You know, one of the things about the Peterson that I love, you have many of those interactive kiosks, press the button, it plays different things. Have you had to take precautions because of that to make sure the surfaces are clean?
Everything that was an interactive actually has been closed.
Oh, okay.
And we actually now, everyone who comes in gets a stylist, so that even pushing the elevator buttons is now done through a stylist, so you don't have any personal touch on it. Doors are propped open, and, you know, things are made so that there really is no touch points in the museum now.
All right. And we'll get back to you, Terry, to find out what specific new exhibitions you have for those that are returning. But just real quickly for your staff, is there any anxiety that you've encountered with staff members about going back into the building and working there every day?
Not at all. I think that people are so glad to be back, you know, in an environment where things are happening, you know, having been locked down for a year. You know, but it's also that we're taking great precautions, that only 25% of the staff will be back in the building. We're going to keep the working at home protocols in place. We've got people in the offices spaced out, no two people in the same office. Even our break rooms are now, you know, only one person at a time in there. And I think everyone feels very comfortable and safe with what we've put in place.
All right.
We've had a couple of museums come and visit us yesterday to check out our protocols to see how we're doing it.
Great. I would assume a lot of museums are checking out other museums to you know, put heads together and see what's planned. Terry Karg is Executive Director of the Peterson Automotive Museum. We'll get back to Terry to find out about what specific exhibitions they have with this reopening. But I'd like to hear from you if you are the leader of or in leadership of a Southern California museum that is opening up or cultural venue. I'd like to hear what you're planning to do and what the timeline is. If you're someone who is a staff member of one of those, I'd be interested to hear from you about what's planned so that we can get a very wide array of venues represented in this conversation this morning on Air Talk. 866-893-5722, 866-893-KPCC. You can post on the Air Talk Facebook page. You can tweet at AirTalk. You can also put your comment on the AirTalk page itself at kpcc.org. Anne Burroughs is the president and CEO of the Japanese American National Museum in Little Tokyo, which is a beautiful venue with all kinds of interesting exhibitions there. And thank you for being with us this morning. What's your timeline?
Hi, Larry. Thank you. It's very good to be here. Hello, everybody. We're actually opening. We're planning to open on April the 16th to the public. So certainly John and Terry have the jump on us. And then we'll also have a member opening on the 19th. And similarly, you know, we're reducing the number of days that we'll be open. We'll be open on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Reduced occupancy, and, you know, certainly all of the issues that have been, or the points that have been made about reopening safely has been paramount for us as well. And we've, you know, jumped through, you know, all of those steps, you know, not just with our staff, with our public, but also just in terms of upgrading our facility and our building and, you know, ensuring that we have, you know, all of the hospital grade filtration systems, that our HVAC is significantly upgraded. So, you know, we've had plans in place for some time, and we're just waiting for the go-ahead, and we really are ready to roll. And it's just, it's extraordinarily exciting after having been a virtual museum with everybody working from home now for a year. It's just so exciting to be able to be reopening again.
Yeah, I'll bet. So all of those changes are in process? You're working on those right now?
Well, they're done. They're in place.
Oh, they're done.
They're
okay.
All in place. They're in place. They're ready to go. And, you know, for us, we could have delayed, as some museums have, but we decided that, you know, it was really important given the, you know, just the extraordinarily distressing rise of anti-Asian hatred, that it was really important for us to be able to, probably the most important service that we can do at the moment, just not for our communities, but for, you know, communities across the city, to be able to reopen and to open our space for a time of, you know, refuge and healing and reflection, and also coming together, which is, you know, in itself, being able to gather, to be together, is just really quite joyous.
We're talking with the president and CEO of the Japanese American National Museum in Little Tokyo, Anne Burroughs. And you also have venues where you're able to have a large number of live events every year. What's your thought about when you're going to be able to resume those?
Larry, we're going to delay on that, and we'll certainly take, guidance from the county. You know, we're also looking at other museums and what they're planning to do. But, you know, for the moment, we're just focusing on bringing our folks back to come and look at our exhibitions. And then in the coming weeks, we'll look at how and when we open up our public spaces. You know, we have a very rich virtual sort of public program schedule, but really it's how we will look at when we can open our in-person schedule of programs in our venue.
All right, and we'll get back to Anne Burroughs of the Japanese American National Museum to find out when they do reopen, third week of April, what they have on tap there. The same with John Echeveste and Terry Cargas, John of Plaza de Cultura y Artes, downtown LA, and Terry is the executive director of the Peterson Automotive Museum on Museum Row of the Miracle Mile. More to come on Air Talk. We're talking about the planned reopening of Southern California museums. In the case of the Peterson Automotive, it's happening tomorrow. They're ready to open up their doors as they get revved up. And we've also got Plaza de Cultura y Artes, Latino arts, history, and culture. They're focused. They're right across from Olvera Street in downtown Los Angeles. We've got the Japanese American National Museum in Little Tokyo represented. And from the Bowers Museum, the largest museum in Orange County, the president, Peter C. Keller. Peter, we appreciate your being with us. What's the schedule for reopening at the Bowers?
Oh, we're way ahead of you, Larry. We opened last week.
Oh, terrific. Wow.
8th of March.
That's great. How has that gone?
It's going incredibly well. We had a lot of practice. As soon as we closed a year ago, we immediately dove in to find out what we would need to be safe to reopen, not knowing we were going to be closed for a year. And so we pulled out all the whistles and bells. We have everyone that comes gets their temperature checked automatically. We have, of course, all the things that the other directors have mentioned, we've done as well. And we had those two windows of opportunity when we were open for 10 days in June and almost 2 months last September. It was disappointing. We did incredibly well. But then to have to shut down again was quite frustrating.
And what percentage of your staff is back working now?
Oh, 100%.
That's great. Did you get PPP money for them?
Yes, we got both PPP loans. We were quite fortunate.
All right. And so that enabled you to keep your staff on through the time of closure?
Yes. And what was really interesting about this is that we retooled how we do business. And we may never go back entirely to the old way. We did everything virtually. We have virtual resource guides for teachers. We did about four virtual public programs a week. We have virtual family festivals, you name it, virtual art classes. And what's interesting about it is we actually reach a much broader audience than doing it right here on site. And we've got comments like it's great to go to a lecture and have a front row seat. So we may never abandon that. It would be great to be able to bring people in, but I know we were talking about when we could do programs again. And
yeah,
the requirements are we have a beautiful auditorium here, but we can't use it until until we get down into the green tier.
Peter, yesterday when we were talking about local theater, your Orange County neighbors at South Coast Rep were talking about how many thousands more school kids they were able to reach with their virtual theater than, you know, even though they bring thousands of kids into South Coast Rep from local schools every year. So you're describing something similar.
Yes, we served over 26,000 students this year.
Wow. And Peter, just because time is short, what do you have on exhibition right now?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. we opened a fabulous exhibit from the Disney Archives. It's their 50th anniversary, and it's a major Disney exhibit, and it closed a week after we opened it, which was highly disappointing. But fortunately, the people at Disney have extended that, and it's going to be extended till June 20th. We also have an exhibit that was installed but never opened from the Taiwan Cultural Ministry of two living treasures of Taiwan, one a gold artist and one a jade carver, and they're spectacular, and people are loving it. So that's extended now until the end of August.
That's terrific. Peter, thank you so much. Let me go back to John Echeveste, CEO of La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, downtown L.A. Once you reopen, just briefly, what do you have on tap for attendees?
We have two exhibits, Larry, that we opened just before the shutdown. You know, museums are great places not only to view art in all its form, but also to tell stories about history and economics and politics and social justice issues. So we have an exhibit that opened 3 weeks called Afro-Latinidad in Los Angeles, which is an exploration of Afro-Latino households in L.A. We also have an exhibit by renowned Chicano artist Carlos Almaraz called Evolution of Form. Carlos is the subject of a documentary currently running on Netflix, and this shows some of his early work and his early exploration in different art genres. And we'll also be reopening our historic Paseo Walkway, which we had recently renovated in February of 2019.
All right.
Includes public art installations and historical signage for the downtown area.
Boy, I am there for the Almaraz exhibition and Afro-Latinidad because that's a remarkable part of L.A. history, and I'm so glad to hear you've got an exhibition on that. So I'm there, John, when you reopen in April. And that's going to be a limited schedule, by the way, for La Plaza. They'll be open Thursday through Sunday once they reopen with those two exhibitions. Terry Cargas, Peterson Automotive, real briefly, what do you have for people once the doors open tomorrow?
We opened four new exhibits while we were closed and gave everyone virtual tours, but supercars on our third floor, over 30 supercars highlighting the origins of supercars, an off-road exhibit in our Hot Rod Gallery, a Le Mans tribute to Porsche on the second floor, a Pininfarina design studio exhibit on our first floor in the Mullen floor, and then our movie car exhibit continues with dystopian cars from over 30 different movies.
That's great.
Including Star Wars, Blade Runner, Batman, Terminator, Back to the Future, and then James Hetfield's custom collection on our second floor, which
all right,
some of the most beautiful customs you've ever seen.
Wow, Terry, you got a ton of stuff. Is the vault going to be open?
That most definitely, one of the most important and popular features of the museum.
All right. And that, of course, by reservation. Terry Cargas, Executive Director, Peterson Automotive Museum and Burroughs Japanese American National Museum, Little Tokyo. Just real briefly, you were mentioning what's going on right now with the violence and verbal attacks against Asian Americans. You planning anything as you reopen to take that head on?
Larry, thank you for the question. We just very recently hosted a big gathering on our plaza, probably the largest that we'd had in Los Angeles, to talk about that issue. We also have, you know, we're reopening exhibitions that we'd had to close when we closed down, but we have some new work by an artist called Taiji Terasaki, which is part of an ongoing exhibition of his called Transcendence, Heroes at Borders. And this is focusing on memorial to healthcare workers. So it's specifically looking at that COVID period, you know, that year of Zoom memorials.
Yeah.
And this is really an exhibition that is going to give people the opportunity to grieve, because grieving isn't complete, but it's also an opportunity to sort of celebrate the resilience of, you know, communities across the country, you know, particularly communities of color that have had to deal with, disproportionately had to deal with some of the COVID issues.
And I Go ahead. One more, please.
Oh, we have, we're reopening our exhibition commemorating the anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was forced to close when we were closed down. So that's also quite a tough exhibition, but extraordinarily moving, extraordinarily moving.
I can only imagine. And thank you so much. So much to see at the Japanese American National Museum in Little Tokyo. Anne is the president and CEO. Let me add Jennifer and El Serino called. She's the executive director of the Museum of Social Justice. They're targeting April 15th to reopen. They're going to be doing outside exhibition, lots of starting and stopping, Jennifer describes. And Mary in Orange, director of the Hilbert Museum, Mary Platt, says we're doing an inside opening today for Friends of the Museum. We had a brief reopening in October, but it's felt like a long time since we really had to get our operation fully moving. And David in Culver City, I'm a docent with the LA City Fire Department Historical Society Museum. Most of our docents are very elderly. We're taking lots of precautions to make sure it's safe and number of people are limited. We have fire trucks. All the kids want to touch them. So we have even more cleaning to undertake than others. Our outdoor areas are limited. We don't really have the option to take exhibits outside.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.